What are the issues confronting women in Missouri today, and how have they changed, or have they? An organization called Women's Foundation has been conducting ongoing statewide research on the subject. It's the Status of Women in Missouri Project. Headquartered in Kansas City, Women's Foundation promotes equity and opportunity for women through research, policy, and philanthropy. Joining me to talk about the organization, its research, and its findings are Wendy Doyle, President and CEO of the Women's Foundation. Sonia Erickson is Senior Research Analyst for the Institute of Public Policy at the University of Missouri. The Institute conducts research and independent nonpartisan public policy analysis for Missouri. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Wendy, I'll start with you. The report that I alluded to came out a little over a year ago. Is that in the process of being updated, or is that information from a year plus ago still relevant?
It is still relevant, but to your question, yes, we are in the process. We will be working with the Institute of Public Policy at University of Missouri to update that research later this year. So stay tuned for updating to it. But what we know is that a lot of the information is still relevant and timely, and it was a significant investment that we made, but felt very important to be able to educate all Missourians about really the playing field for women.
Well, what did you find in terms of that playing field in January 2015 that is still the same?
I think really to share with the listeners, we started to do our homework with spending some time actually listening to women around the state of Missouri. We spent time actually here in St. Louis, also in Springfield and Kansas City. We profiled low-income women and mid- to upper-income women so we could clearly hear and understand what the issues were from a qualitative perspective. And we even listened to men because we wanted to hear firsthand what they thought the issues were that they were dealing with. And what we learned primarily, first and foremost, number one across the board is childcare for both women and men, very concerned about accessibility and quality to take care of their children. I think secondly to point out was healthcare, accessibility, preventative health measures for women too, aging and economic security, as well as income and employment. And then we really focused on civic leadership. We are wanting to get more women's voices at the table so we can really start to impact some policy changes.
Sonia, you know, none of these findings came as a surprise to me, and I suspect not as a surprise to you either.
That's right. That's right. The most important aspect of that initial research project was really to identify the five main areas that women in Missouri were concerned about. So there are, you know, lots of issues on the table for women in Missouri, but through the focus groups, through our research, and through a convening of a number of scholars at the University of Missouri, these were the five issues that bubbled up consistently. So were they a surprise? No, but they reinforced how important that they are to women.
Different socioeconomic groups were obviously studied and researched. Was there much of a difference in attitudes and findings between these groups, or are they pretty much the same?
There was a lot of consistency. Obviously, higher income women have more access to health care. They have more access to insurance. So that was one area where there was a difference. But one area where there was great consistency was the issue of child care. Yeah. No matter what your income, unless you are the very elite and can afford in-home care or something like that, everyone struggles with finding quality, affordable child care.
What about what? Well, go ahead, Wendy. You looked like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I did want to say, you know, really the investment came to, and as you said, no real big surprises here. Yeah. But the objective of this was to really establish a baseline for the state of Missouri. So as we start to refresh and update the data, we can look at, are we moving the needle in Missouri? Mm-hmm. So that was really the objective and point of view that we wanted to focus on.
Is there any reason to suspect that we're any different here in Missouri in these attitudes and your findings than any place else in the country?
No, absolutely not. And I think when we actually went out and benchmarked, and Sonia can speak more to it, but looked at more national trends, we're spot on for the issues across the board.
Did you want to comment, Sonia?
No, I would agree with that. Generally speaking, Missouri doesn't stand out in one way or another, good or bad. Right in the middle.
One of the issues that always comes up, and generally it's first and foremost, is the pay gap situation. We've been hearing about that for a long, long time, and I'm gathering from what I've seen from your numbers, things haven't changed very much.
They really haven't changed. And our study shows that 71 cents to the dollar that men make is the average for the state of Missouri. Benchmarking that to the national average, which is 78 or plus, numbers are always skewed. But that puts in, relation what the pay gap is. Women's Foundation really has taken a hard look at this. We invited Governor Jay Nixon to join us in December. Because of this particular issue, we've spoken with him. He came forward and signed an executive order 15-09 on December 4th with the Women's Foundation and calling for looking at best practice guidelines to close the pay gap between women and men for the same work in the state of Missouri. And really that was calling for a research study that the Women's Foundation has commissioned and, again, has partnered with the Institute of Public Policy. Stay tuned. We're going to be rolling out some of the best practice guidelines in a couple of weeks on what we can do in the state of Missouri to close the pay gap.
Sonia, can you give us a little indication of the kinds of things you're finding?
Well, one thing to understand about the pay gap, when we refer to the gap, that is really just a ratio of median men's income to median women's income. So there's often discussion about what does it really mean? Are you comparing, the most elite high-earning men to the most entry-level women? And if so, is that really a meaningful comparison? And all of those are valid points to discuss. The bigger issue is that over the course of a woman's lifetime, she will earn less no matter what she does, generally, than her male counterpart. So what are the reasons for that? Is it that some women are working part-time? Are they leaving the workforce? There are a lot of complex reasons that have been studied for years. I think what Wendy's organization is focusing on now is there are all these reasons. It's a very gray area in some cases. It's very straightforward in other areas. But how do we change it? How do we fix it? And that's what the best practices are really focusing on. Is it just comparing, are Jane and Joe in the same job earning the same amount of money? Is that a good way to get at it? That's one way that you might get at it. Is it looking at more systemic structural issues in the workplace? So those are all issues we're considering.
I thought the Lilly Ledbetter Act was supposed to deal with this issue and resolve it once and for all.
Well, it dealt with one part of this issue, yeah, which was transparency. And women can't know if they're earning less if they don't know what other people are earning. So Lilly Ledbetter was an attempt to address that particular issue, but that's just one component.
Right. I'm interested, Wendy, in what you've been finding out from the men. I mean, are they supportive? What did you ask them and what did you find out?
It was so interesting in that conversation because, we really thought there was going to be an aha moment, something exciting, interesting that would come out as a result of the conversation in the focus group listening session. But what we've learned is the issues that they're concerned about are exactly the same issues that women are concerned about. In particular, they are very concerned about childcare and the impact of how that what that will mean to household family budgets. Very concerned about that. There is also the discussion with men of, really between the wife and the husband, who is the higher age earner, and is it mean the man stays home to take care of the children versus the woman? So their issue number one, obviously childcare. They have mothers and daughters too. So the issues that we're concerned about, they're extremely concerned about. I would say second and foremost was aging mothers and how to take care of that and how that would impact household budgets if it would require a mother moving back in to the home because there wasn't any funds left for assisted living. So it was very, very interesting, very engaging conversation. But I think the takeaway was exactly the same issues that women have, men are concerned about too.
So the consensus then, Sonia, that men are supportive of the issues that they're being questioned about in your surveys?
We actually, it was only the listening group that spoke with men, and we didn't survey men as part of our research.
Will you be this time in the forthcoming research?
I don't think we plan to conduct any surveys with this research.
One of the reasons I bring that up is because predominantly men who make the laws in this and other states, and you have to go to the men to have the laws change, some of the things you'd like to have happen. So that's why I was curious as to whether or not there's any kind of a consensus that you sense.
You know, that's interesting that you bring that up. We have had a lot of conversations because the Women's Foundation's work does ultimately want to impact some policy changes. So we have been meeting a lot with legislators who are mostly men. I'm so glad you pointed that out. Mm-hmm. Our research shows that only 25% of Missouri's General Assembly represents women. So we look at that as opportunity. And one of the solutions that the Women's Foundation has come up with is the Appointments Project. And it's an opportunity for women to become civically engaged. And it was a solution based on a research study that we also had commissioned to look at what are the barriers for women to jump into civic engagement. And the number one reason is women want to be asked to serve, that they typically hold back and undervalue their expertise and knowledge and experience and want to be asked to step up and serve. So we launched the Appointments Project. We have launched it here in St. Louis with Mayor Slay and working to try to get women appointed to boards and commissions. We've even elevated it to the state level, and Governor Nixon has recently appointed two women through our Appointments Project, and they have been Senate confirmed. So it is our next step and our hope that as women, you know, get the civic engagement bug, they will ultimately want to run for office.
You know, and looking at what's been going on around us here and elsewhere, it seems to me that perhaps there's been more advancement in this one area than some of the others that you've been looking at.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We see that women's voices and interests are starting to get become more focused on this particular aspect of civic engagement because they feel like they can be heard and that there is opportunity to get results.
I'd like to open the lines to our listeners if they'd like to get into the conversation about women's issues that you are interested in. We have some time to take some calls. We are talking with Wendy Doyle, the President and CEO of the Women's Foundation. Sonia Erickson is Senior Research Analyst for the Institute of Public Policy at Mizzou. There is a philanthropic component to what you're talking about, and I'm not quite sure I understand what that what that's
sure.
about.
So the Women's Foundation, we actually have an endowment. So it is an opportunity for other 501c3 organizations, nonprofit organizations, to apply to the Women's Foundation for funding, and we do grant out into the state. So opportunities for organizations to apply to us. And we look at benchmarking how we can invest our dollars back to those five key indicators so it really connects all of our work of the Women's Foundation.
All right. And tell me a little bit more about where you're going, Sonia, with in the weeks ahead with your research.
With our research, well, excuse me, as Wendy indicated, we've been working with the governor's office to fine-tune some of the best practices that were called for in Executive Order 1509. Hmm. So from my perspective, we have finalized our research and have sent it on to the Women's Foundation. They are fine-tuning their work with it now. And then we will proceed after that with updating the status of women report, particularly the data points relying on the census data, because the census data has now been updated since.
What then? I mean, once you have compiled all of this information, it's important information, what happens to it?
Well, I think I would throw that to Wendy because we're working for her.
So what happens next is what we really are diving in, and anything that we do, it is driven by data. So we want to come up with some solutions, but ultimately we want to look at some policy fixes where we can really make some change in the state of Missouri. I would say that the good work that the Institute of Public Policy has done on this status of women in research, it had been about 15 to 20 years since such a research had been completed for the state of Missouri. So we want to keep that information relevant. We want to keep benchmarking back and looking at, are we able to move the needle with some policy changes? And the reason for that is that we have that's our ability to have the greatest impact.
What can women do? I mean, you're going to be looking for solutions. What can women themselves do who are listening to us now, for instance, to become involved?
Great question. I think first and foremost is to educate yourself. So take some time, go to our website, look at the research study. It has relevant information. It has information that you can even apply down to your neighborhood. So I think it's important to educate yourself. Secondly, if I'm asking, women want to be asked to serve civically, I ask you to step up and serve and have a voice at the table. We need you. Third and foremost, to become civically engaged, and women and men, we need to exercise our right to vote. So I think there is that opportunity to do so too. And it's such an interesting climate. So there is the opportunity for a voice to be heard.
Well, a lot of people, men and women, are really afraid to rattle the cage. You know what I'm saying? They might think that there are things wrong, that there are inequities, but if I speak up, it could cost me my job. It could cost me friends. It could cost me any number of things. How do you deal with that?
And, you know, that is what we have heard from some qualitative data that we've done with women time and time again. They hold back. And but it's building that confidence factor to step up and be able to speak. No question, no concern should go unheard. If there is an issue, more than likely others are dealing with the exact same issue too. So we just encourage voices and thoughts to come forward.
We talked a moment ago about the Lilly Ledbetter Act and the fact that there should be transparency as to whether men and women are making equal pay. What should a woman do if, in fact, she finds out that she is being paid less for doing the same work as a man?
Well, I am not an attorney. There is legal recourse, however, because since 1963, Missouri has had the Missouri Equal Pay Act and also the Federal Equal Pay Act, also passed in 1963. So in Missouri, if a woman finds that she's been paid unequally, she can file a complaint with the Department of Labor and Industrial Relations with the state, and they will take her case. The challenge with these laws is that she must then be able to prove that that discriminatory pay was due to gender bias. And therein has lied the challenge, and why the Women's Foundation, I think, is hoping to provide some different answers, because it's very difficult to prove that that was the sole reason that your pay is different.
Is there, Wendy, is there a legislative remedy to this?
There potentially could be. One of the things that we are taking a look at, and it's actually modeled after some work that has been done down in New Mexico, is around the contracting area and opportunity to have more transparency with contractors. And so we're looking at some potential policy fixes around that. Ultimately, there are some states that have moved very strongly in the enforcement area. But I think for the climate and where we are in the state of Missouri, just bringing forth the issue, developing some best practice guidelines, taking this slow, recognizing this is a marathon, not a sprint, I think we are taking the right approach.
What about remedies for the issues, the primary issues that you identified a little earlier, health care, for instance, and child care? What kind of remedies are potentially out there for them?
Well, Sonia and I were just talking about that. You know, child care is a significant issue, obviously, but for the state of Missouri, we are the only state in the country that doesn't have a quality rating system. So that is, you know, an opportunity. We like to think of those challenges as opportunities. And also, I think, you know, just being able to take care of our children should be our first and foremost priority. On the healthcare front, some of the things that we've been looking at is more from the experience perspective that the Women's Foundation is looking at, and what are some policy fixes that we can do to streamline the experience, particularly for the aging community. You know, from beginning to end, you know, can we streamline transportation issues to be able to take care of healthcare challenges? So we're really starting to look at a number of ways to take a bite at the apple.
Mm-hmm. Sonia, with regard to child care, for instance, what are you being told about that? What were the specific problems? That it's not available? That it's too expensive? Or what are the issues? But yes to all of the above.
Yes to all of the above. In Missouri in particular, there are several counties that have very little access to quality child care. For example, Four of the counties with the largest number of children under the age of four have no accredited child care centers. Now, there's some child care, but the quality is, you know, you don't know if they aren't accredited. The challenge with child care is the actionable items that the Women's Foundation is pursuing. You can't necessarily, by legislating, control the cost of child care. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a market-driven problem. So the cost of child care is statewide a challenge. Availability depends on where you live. Some of the rural areas have real challenges. Some of the urban areas have affordability issues more than others. So did I answer your question?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. The next issue I have here is one that you alluded to, Wendy, and that is the issue of aging. Mm-hmm. That's something none of us can stop, unfortunately.
Right.
So what is the issue here specifically?
So the issue for the Women's Foundation is really looking at, and again, this, as a point out, was a significant issue the men brought forward. But when women in particular step out of the workforce to maybe care to raise a family, start a family, then they lose their earning potential and opportunity opportunity to accrue Social Security and contribute to their 401ks. So they step out. So they are ready. Their nest egg is going to be smaller than that of a man. So then when it comes to and then we also have the facts that women outlive men. So they live longer, but have less money to get them through the rest of their life. So those are the issues that we're looking at. What can we do as an organization, maybe from a policy fix, but if nothing else, bringing forward the issues and looking at what we can do to help make sure that women have dignity in later in life.
We just have about a minute left. I'll give you an opportunity to tell women listening here what they can do and what you would like them to do and how they can work with you.
Sure. First and foremost, I encourage all women to go and visit our website, womens-foundation.org.
We'll put a link on our website.
Okay, great. Perfect. Thank you. And to educate themselves on the research study, the Status of Women in Missouri research study. Secondly, I just invite all women to step forward, become civically engaged, have a voice. You can apply to our appointments project, and that is also available through our website. And then continue to get out and vote to be able to really flex your muscle.
Flex your muscle. Sonia, do you anticipate finding things to be much different in this latest work that you're doing than different than the previous?
I would say where we would expect to find some differences on some actions that have taken place since the report. The data may not be significantly different, but I think what's happened in relation to it might be.
All right. Well, I have to stop you right there. I want to thank you both for being with us. hopefully a lot of women are listening or taking to heart what you've been saying. Wendy Doyle, thank you for being with us. Sonia Erickson, thank you so much for
thank
being
you.
With us.
Thank you for having us.
Keep us advised as to what's going on, if you would. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.